Going to talk this morning about buried treasure, dating back to the 1600s on the northern Oregon coast. Oregon has a bunch of buried treasure and lost gold kind of stories, and this is kind of the number one story. This is the most well-known and probably, I'm going to go out on a limb here, probably the most credible. That's not saying much. I'll tell you all about it in just a minute. I'm Finn J.D. John. You're listening to me reading you an archive column from the weekly newspaper column I write. The column's called Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every weekday morning, and of course, if you subscribe to this podcast, you already know that. If you're not subscribed to it and want more information about it, it's free, of course. Stay tuned or see offbeatoregon.com. Today's column was published first in the newspapers on August 22nd, 2010, under the headline, The Legendary Spanish Gold of Neocani Mountain. Here we go. Stories about buried treasure are, of course, almost never true. But there's one buried treasure story dating back to the 1600s on the northern Oregon coast that might actually be the real thing. The story has been passed down through generations of Native Americans in the area of Nehalem Bay and has almost certainly been corrupted over the centuries by exaggerations and simplifications. But here's the gist of it. In the late 1600s, a Spanish sailing ship came into Nehalem Bay. Now, some versions of this story say it dropped anchor there, and other versions say that the galleon was shipwrecked. Both versions go on to say that a group of men climbed into a small boat and rowed through the breakers to shore. The men then walked straight inland and up the side of a shoreside bluff called Neocani Mountain, carrying a heavy chest. At some point on the side of the mountain, they stopped, set the chest down, and started digging. The whole time, the local natives were watching them with great curiosity. At last the hole was deep enough and the chest was lowered into it. Then, apparently knowing the natives would not disturb a man's grave, one of the bearded strangers drew his cutlass and plunged it into another, apparently an African slave. This unfortunate fellow, once he finished dying, was then tossed in on top of the chest, and man and chest were buried together. From here the stories diverge again. One has the ship hoisting anchor and disappearing over the horizon. In another, several sailors are left behind to guard the ship, but quarrel with the natives over women and are killed in the ensuing fights. Perhaps the most ludicrous version, a shipwreck scenario, has the captain of the ship killing all his crew members who won't fit in the lifeboat and then setting out in the open sea in it, rowing toward Baja, California, a mere 1,800 miles away. A century passed. Then in the early 1800s, British and American expeditions started to arrive. Lewis and Clark, the Astorian Party, the Hudson's Bay Company by land, and Captains Gray and Vancouver by sea, though not in that order. Trading with the natives, they learned of the buried gold. Poor Neocani Mountain hasn't been the same since. One settler after another has become obsessed with the legend and gone to try to retrieve the Spanish gold. People have spent years, decades, whole lifetimes digging hopeful holes in this bluff. In the 1870s, a treasure hunter named Pat Smith found some stones marked with crosses, arrows, and the letters D-E-W, but nothing more. During the 1930s, two treasure hunters even died in the attempt when an excavation they were working on collapsed on them. The legend is still very much alive today. In 2006, a movie was even made about it, The Tillamook Treasure, also known as The Legend of Tillamook's Gold, an indie children's film that won an impressive bevy of awards. People are still digging holes in the bluff, although a lot of it's going on in secret now because part of the bluff owned by the Oregon Parks and Rec Department is officially off limits to treasure hunters. But these latter-day treasure hunters may be barking up an empty tree. There's some reason to believe that the treasure was real but was found long ago. It seems that back in the early 1800s, a fur trapper named Thomas McKay arrived with the Astorian Party on the ill-fated Tonquin. Here, he must have heard about the treasure, because after he became an employee of Hudson's Bay Company, he started coming to the mountain spade in hand. He worked obsessively, digging and scrounging every spare moment. Then, one day, he suddenly walked away from the mountain, quit his job, disappeared. Years later, he settled at French Prairie by the Willamette River, and he seemed oddly flush with cash, not to the point of being flashy about it, but never worried about money either, and quite generous with it among his friends. And that was before the 1848 gold rush, when other residents of the Willamette Valley were using bushels of wheat and Abernethy rocks as currency. Could it be that Thomas McKay found the chest, secretly slipped away with it, quit his job, went somewhere else to enjoy it, free of the notoriety and envy that always seemed to accompany found money? In fact, isn't that what any of us would do? If that's what happened, one has to hope he at least treated the bones of that poor murdered slave with some respect. That's it for today. You've been listening to an archive column from the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column, and if you'd like more, there's a couple dozen more of these audio columns on iTunes, and they'll pop right up if you do a search for Oregon under podcasts in the iTunes store. While you're there, do me a favor, write a quick review of the podcast. Little podcasts like this get noticed by getting reviewed by listeners. There are also hundreds of columns in text and pictures forms going back to 2008 on our website, offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to this podcast and or its text equivalent, so they will be automatically delivered straight to your smartphone via RSS. You'll also find links to the Offbeat Oregon Facebook page and Twitter feed so that you can join the conversation. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details, offbeatoregon.com/cc. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, especially over good coffee or Irish stout. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. One more thing. My book's coming out June 5th. If you like this column, chances are pretty good you'll like my book. It's titled Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, basically Portland in the 1890s. Anyway, I'd like to invite you to check it out. The webpage is up right now at wicked-portland.com. Your local library will probably have a copy after it comes out, and if they don't, well, you might suggest they get one. Anyway, if you do check it out, let me know what you think. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.